Okay, so what we were in the middle of discussing was the question of how to understand and assess the impact of Sof Chamalavo on Mitzamtzim, and particularly according to those, the possibility that it would take Mitzamtzim from an act which is defined as Garmi, in the case of Chamak Barbat, to an act which is defined as Grumma, right? Which is, we saw the Tamar Rashba, but the Rush, on the one hand, versus the Meiri and the Ron on the other, who both cases are Garmi. Both cases are Chayav Benizik Midin Garmi. So that's what we were analyzing. And what we were up to was understanding and assessing it according to the criterion of the Meiri. Right? According to the Meiri's understanding of why is it Chamak Barba in the first place, and Santim Chamak Barba in the first place is considered to be Garmi. So what is the situation with Sof Chamalavo? So why is it that he thought it was Garmi? So we saw that on the Meiri's version of sort of the Riz, Hu Atzma Osa Hezek, so what that means for the Meiri is that the Guf HaMaisa is Mazik, that the act that the person did is an act of Hefsed, not just an act which sort of allows Nezek to come via some other route. So Misvara, it's compelling to assume, if I have to ask myself about Sof Chamalavo, that Mitzamtzim Sof Chamalavo does not meet that standard and therefore is Grumma. I mean, we discussed the fact that according to the Meiri, Mitzamtzim Chamak Varba, that is considered to be Garmi, is also not obvious. If you hold that it requires a Maisa Hamafsid, so you could have made the argument that the act of Kfita per se is not a Maisa Hamafsid. So we offer two explanations for that. The first, and I think really probably the most consistent of the language of the Meiri, regarding Garmi, is that Kfita, is that the act of Kfita itself is in fact defined as an act of Hezek, of Hefsed. And what we suggested was that the sort of the dangerous conditions of the environment sort of integrates and impacts the characterization of the act. Just like when it pushes into a fire, so we don't say that the act was an act of pushing, and you know, it happens to be that it caused the death through the fire. No, it's an act of pushing into the fire, throwing into the fire. So too, I think we meant at the time said spikes. Let's say spikes on a wall, right? So too, you might say that tying in within the conditions of dangerous heat, so that's viewed as a maisa hamazik, it's a kvita hamazika, and therefore it's garmi. But regarding Sof Chamalavo, again, Misvari would have thought that that's not a maisa hamafsid. The act itself, in this case, is done in an environment which is completely, b'sheket b'shava. There's no dangerous conditions. It's only later, long after the mice is over, or even if it's not long after, but it's after the mice is over, it's only later that the dangerous conditions arise. And it's compelling to assume that damaging conditions, let's say, that arise after the mice is completed, they do not integrate into the definition of the mice itself. So you wouldn't say it's kfita hamazika by virtue of the fact that much later there's going to be dangerous conditions arising in the place where I tied you. So if that's the case, you would have said, then you don't have a maisa hamafsik. Don't have a maisa hamafsik, and therefore Sof Chamalavo will be grumma. Now the problem with this...
So you're saying that it's the reason why Mitzamtzim Chamal Kfar Ba, that's because it's miyad, or because it's omicham?
Not me. You mean in terms of what the parameters are of Sof Chamalavo versus Chamal Kfar Ba?
Yeah, I mean both. It has both the fact that it's the Kfar Ba already has miyad and it's omicham.
Right. So I would have said that presumably you need the Haskalas Hezek too, I would think. But even if you can make the argument that maybe as long as the damaging agent is there, I think it'd be, you know, at least what I would have said is you couldn't really make the argument, or at least it's not so compelling to say that if the damaging agent isn't even there, you can still sort of view that as, you know, throwing him within the sun or tying him within the heat of the sun. It's not even there. But I think the easiest thing is to assume which Rabbi Shimon did, and Meiri certainly did. So I think in that sense you can connect it. That you need us, that Chamak Barba is defined by Haskal Zahezek. Now the problem is that the Meiri himself, as he's one of the Balei Ashita that holds that even Sof Chamalavo is Garmi. He thinks both of them are Garmi. So the question is, how do we understand that? So this is in a sense just ironic, because whereas the Rush we said, you would think that, you know, his Osa Maisa Beguva Davar, you know, the reason that Mitzamtzim Chamak Rabba is Osa Maisa Beguva Davar was because, after all, in this case, he's being Mitzamtzim Behemdo. So that seemingly is true of Sokhama Lavo, and you would have said, well, therefore it should be Garmi too. He says it's Brahma, now we discussed last time. The Meiri, on the other hand, whose idea was that it's a Maisa Hamafsid, so you would have said, well, maybe that's sort of harder to argue, that's sort of harder to contend that it's a Maisa Hamafsid in the case where the actual situation in which you were tying him was completely harmless. And nonetheless, he's the one who says Garmi. So the question is, how do we understand this? So I think one possibility is to assume the other explanation that we suggested for the Meiri. I think there you have an easier time sort of seeing why or how it is that Sof Kamalovo does not make any difference. The second explanation that we gave in terms of why it is, according to the Meiri's, Maisa Hamafsid, so why is it that Mitzvah Sof Chamer Kvar Ba is Garmi, was that really the act of Kfita is not an act itself of Hezek. But it doesn't provide, isn't itself damaging anything. But for the Meiri, what one does is Grumma if all one does is introduce, the principle for the Meiri really is that what you do is Grumma is all, if all you do is introduce the Mazik and the Nizak to the Nizak, bring about the encounter of the Mazik and Nizak, and then retreat from the picture. And then the Mazik goes on his own and goes ahead and damages, like the case of Mishasa Kelev, where you provoke the animal into damaging, or moving the ladder to the Shovach, the Gemara Bavasa and Chapez, or where you remove the cushioning, so you expose the pavement to the Kli. But, and this is what we said then, if a person's act is a hand in the Nezek itself, even if it isn't an act which is actually itself damaging, the Meiri perhaps doesn't really mean that the act itself has a damage. What it means is simply that it can't be that you just introduce the players and then retreat from the picture. So if it's not doing that, if it actually is assisting in the Nezek, so that could be Garmi, even if it isn't the Koach HaMazik. Now I think on this account we can argue pretty simply that it doesn't make any difference if it's Sof Kamalavo or not. In other words, whether it's Chama Kvar Ba or Sof Kamalavo, in either case what we'll say is that your act of Kfita is responsible not just for the initial introduction of the Mamis to the Mumas, right? Not just the initial introduction, let's say, of the heat, the dangerous heat of the sun and the victim, but also for the ability of that Mamis to actually go ahead and be Mamis, to actually kill him. That takes time, right? It's not you appear in the sun and that's it. It takes time. And if not for the fact that you tie him down, it's your initial act of tzimtzum, which is the basis for the ability of the sun to actually be delivering the nezek or the misa to the victim. So in that case, you would say, even in the case of Sof Kamalavo, you're not simply introducing or arranging the encounter of the mazik of the nizak and then retreating from the picture. Rather, your act has a continual role. In other words, the initial act of kfita has a continual role in the actual deliverance of the nezek. So maybe that's how you could explain the Meiri. Yeah?
What I'm saying is that based on the fact that the maisa of your rope is still around, or is that something?
So I think you would say this even if you didn't say that we view it as sort of an ongoing activity. I'll get to that point. I'll come back to that point in a second. But I think you could say simply that you're responsible. Your act has impact, even if it's not continuously ongoing, but it still has residual impact, even beyond simply introducing them. In the case of Mishasa. In the case of Mishasa Kelev, I provoked the dog, but I'm not continually following up with the dog. In the case of the Shovach, where I move the Sulam, so once I move the Sulam, then it's all the squirrel, right? Or in the case of the Siluk Akarim, I just remove the cushioning, and then I'm done, right? In all these cases, all you have is the initial arrangement of the introduction of the encounter, but nothing else. So you could argue maybe that's what the Meiri means. In which case, in our case, even if you were to view it just as an original act of kfita, but not an ongoing activity, you would still say, but your original act still has a huge role to play in actually the deliverance of the nezek itself. Maybe. Yeah.
So the only difference between Sofhanalava and regular Mitzamsim would just be the Gears of Kassim,
the Yeah, I mean, that's what emerges from the Meiri, because the Meiri thinks that the same legal act of Butgarmi. It's just that this is the Meiri considers a possibility that at least according to one Amora in the Gemara that it is a Maisa B'dayim, but he thinks that halacha it actually probably isn't. Either way, it's Garmi, and if that's true, he says both of them are Garmi. If that's true, then yeah, that's exactly right. It's just not as the Tosas. I continually return to this line in Tosas. Lo Rabbi Achmana Mitzamtzim El B'Makom Sheyischa Bo HaHezekvar. Not because of some other principle that it's a legal act which is different now. It's just that's not what the Gzeiras HaKasuv of of Ritzicha with respect to cases of Garmi was said with respect to. The Meiri is very clear, and you already know. Anytime you have, if there's even one case of Garmi where you're putter, and there's no pasuk for it, then you know Garmi is in chayv Ritzicha. The Meiri, this itself would have been sufficient. We'll see. He's explicit in Baba Kama and other places that he thinks this is a general chiluk in terms of Ritzicha. The Ritzicha requires Maisa Bidayim, whereas Garmi is putter. So it just emerges from the Meiri that it's exerted custody or chayv in the first place in the case of Mitzamsem. And what I think emerges very clearly from the Yuri, again, regardless of how you explain it, we're trying to explain it, but what emerges anyway from the Yuri is just there's a custom that was set to the specific parameters. What we're saying is, why don't those parameters change the status of the act according to the Yuri? And I think it's one possibility. Yeah, Chaim, you have a question?
We would say the same thing by Kfisa of Nari, that it has a continuous residual effect, or would we say that Ari is Manso?
No, I think you would say the same thing regarding the Ari. I mean, the Meiri, when he says, in all these cases of Sheis Baro B'Samach, they're all going to be Chayev. I'm assuming we'll get to later other cases where you have Hezek Aidei Bali Chayim. But I think the Meiri would say you're Chayev in that case as well, meaning Garmi. But I think it's probably true the same thing you could say there as well, that you know, if he could run away at the first moment of contact, after the first... The case of Shisai Kelev, you're just showing you're sort of pointing him out to the Kelev, you're fixing the attention and provoking it into attacking it, but after that, not. If you were in fact, let's say, if you were in fact to hold down the person so that the Kelev could then damage him, I think that would probably be a different din, that would probably be the din, which I think the Meiri is saying here, because he says, b'cholosam apaturim sheisbara b'samach, that would be chayev. And this could be an explanation for that. Alternatively, I think it's possible to argue and return to the first way that we understood the Meiri, the idea that the Kfita is an act of Hezek itself. And we would argue that maybe we would conclude that in the case of Sochamalavo, that satisfies this criterion as well, even according to the first explanation. In other words, even if what we're saying for the Meiri is always going to be that the Kfita itself is an act of Hezek, maybe that's true in the case of Sochamalavo too. And I think that could be for one of two reasons. One way to explain that would be to say, listen, it's true that only conditions that exist at the time of the act itself can be integrated into the act, can be considered like a tchiva l'socha esh, l'socha spikes, whatever. But you have that here, because we view your act, in here I turn to the point that we were discussing before, that I view your act as an ongoing sort of continuous activity, it's just a method of kvisha. Like if you were to hold somebody down in a place where water were to come, so obviously it wouldn't even be, you just wouldn't even call it Sochamalavo, that's just an act that continues while the damaging agent comes. I just wanted to add as an aside, we've been mentioning this possibility for a while, but haven't really elaborated upon it, the idea that it's a continuous activity. I just wanted to point to a precedent I think was actually much more far-reaching, but it's this sort of notion, I'm not saying it's a proof, I do think that this is more mechudash. But either way, it's an illustration of the idea that an act can be defined as ongoing so long as its defining result is perpetuated. And that is in the following. There's a cluster of cases in various Gemaras where the Gemara indicates that an avarian is loke, this is an aside, where that the avarian is loke despite being completely passive. So Gemara Makos and Chavez talks about a case of Levishas Kilayim, where someone puts on Kilayim and the Eidim there are they give Masra. So the Gemara says, at least according to one day in the Gemara there, you look, I call Shehiyah v'Shehiyah. You haven't done anything. The Gemara in Shavuos and Nidal talks about a Kohen who becomes Tameh after he was entered into the Azara. So he's, let's say somebody touched him, it was Tameh. So he's Chayv Malkos, Mishum Elo Mikdash Losavo, if he doesn't exit promptly, for just the Shehiyah. And the Gemara, so again, Nazir and Gimel is another case where the Nazir fails, let's say, to exit a house after somebody had died, right? So the Gemara says, "Yerlo kashtayim, achas v'shem lo yavo, and achas v'shem lo yitam." So in all these cases, it seems you have malchus, despite the fact that you just were completely passive. So the Tosfos were very bothered by this. They think that according to the other day, there's a day in the Gemara that consistently thinks in all these cases you're pader precisely because it's a lav shem b'maisa shein lo kana lav. They give another explanation. Maybe it's talking about a case. Maybe it doesn't mean you're chay malchus. It just means you're over the iser. But then the Tosfos suggest that, and that's not viable according to the other day, one day, at least Ravashi, this is Tosfos Shavuos. I think Tosfos Shavuos is on Yidzayin, but it's one of those, Shayach to the, you know, to an earlier daf. So I think Tosfos on Yud Zayin Shvus. But they suggest that in this case you are chayiv Malkus because the shehiya is nechshav lemaisa since tchilasa aidei maisa. So that's I think a more far-reaching example. But the idea seems to be that so long as the state at which the act brought about is persisting, so we view that as a sort of an ongoing activity. So in any event, that's just that was a Ma'amar Maskar, and just wanted to point it out. So that's one way we can explain that really this is a kfita hamazika, because even though it's true you can't have the conditions that are not yet available, not yet there at the time of the act, be considered part of, you know, integrated into the act. Nonetheless, that's what you don't have that here. You know, you have here is a case of an ongoing activity, and at some point when the sun comes, so you're still being co-facing him, you're still tying him down, and that's why you're considered to be a kfisa mazika. Alternatively, perhaps what we'll say is that it isn't true. Maybe the maisa really is, your activity here is limited to the act of kfita. But the assumption isn't correct that future conditions can't be integrated into the act. Perhaps that's not true. Perhaps future conditions can be integrated into the act. You might say that, for instance, it makes sense to assume that, let's say, if I throw somebody's animal onto train tracks, where, let's say, there's no ability for the animal to get out of the train tracks, there's no ability for anybody to rescue the animal before the train comes. So at present time, there's no train. Are you going to say that in that case, that that what I did was not a damaging act, all I did was an act of throwing? So I think you could say no, but I think it's mistaber to say no. That case is a case of zriko socha, you know, whatever it is. It's ongoing ish. We're going to discuss precisely that case soon. An oncoming ish, right? Being carried by the ruach. So if you throw it into the path, we'll discuss this exact case in a minute. Not in a minute. Soon. So that might be, you might say that's, even though the conditions aren't yet present, but nonetheless, your activity is able to, we sort of integrate the future conditions that your activity is putting, you know, is basically guaranteeing. We can view your act as sort of anticipating that, and that's considered to be, therefore, a zrikha lasoch osoha davar. So, you know, the kfita besocha kama doesn't have to be that the kama, given that the sun rises, you know, pretty much, you know, inevitably, so the kfita besoch hachama doesn't have to require the actual chama to be there at the time of the kfita. Even if it's beforehand, that's sufficient.
Going back to saying that the act is continuous and ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
So then, how does the Xeros HaKasov differentiate between Rokhama and Chama Parva? How come they're not exactly the same case? Since every case, included in every case of Sof Chama Lavo, would have to be an act of Chama Parva.
So, I mean, I think that saying that that it's enough, it's defined as your activity as far as this point is concerned, doesn't necessarily mean that we don't recognize halacha doesn't recognize a distinction, right? Let's say as an example, if you were to say, you know, kocho, you would say that, let's say, it's defined as kocho. So it's a general question, kocho kegufo, but it seems pretty clear we do at least recognize that there's two different mitzvahs there. Even if at least anytime we say that, you know, the kocho kegufo, we are really saying it is equivalent halachically. But there's still just koch. I mean, the difference would be koch, let's say. Now, this is a part Lunda said. We'll get to, but not now. But the point is, halacha can recognize that there's two different mitzvahs here, even if it's saying about both of them that they're equivalent in certain respects. So, I don't think, for instance, Tosfos didn't recognize that there's a difference between, you know, shehiya. I don't think Tosfos thought that halacha didn't recognize the difference. He's saying, as far as lav shem ma'isa is concerned, at the very least, as far as lav shem ma'isa, this is considered to be ayde ma'isa. That's what I would say. From a certain perspective, if I were to say that really there is no halachic difference, just in terms of you're putting on the halachic glasses, you don't see the distinction at all, then it's one thing. But I don't think you need to say that in order to say that we view it as ongoing activity for the purposes of this principle. So, yeah. So in that sense, I guess I'm refining it a little bit, that I don't mean to say that we actually completely withdraw. Unless you say that, you can also play out the Gezeres HaKasav aspect of it, that the Gezeres HaKasav is simply saying, stopping, you know, sort of stopping halacha in its tracks. Normally speaking, we don't differentiate at all. For everything else, we never differentiate. But the halacha is just saying, but when the cham is there, you know, lemaisa, at the time of kfita, then chayev, and otherwise not, even though, you know, if you were to tell us in general, we don't even pay attention to that factor. I think it's possible also. But I'm not sure you have to say that. It's more extreme, and I don't know if I would, if I think you need to say that. So in any event, just to summarize the machlokas that we saw, and we've discussed. So among those who held that chamak rabaz garmi, you see there's a machlokas whether or not sofchal malavo makes it grama or not. So basically we said, in terms of the opinion that holds that it does make it grama, it transforms it from garmi to grama. So we saw two possibilities how to understand that. The first is working with the assumption that the what distinguishes between garmi and grama is the time factor, the absence of any time delay between the totsah and the completion of the maisa. B'shas hezek b'ha maisa. So what we'll say is, in the case, so one could argue that in the case of chamak varba, you have b'shas hezek b'ha maisa, b'shas ha maisa b'ha hezek, and in the case of sofcha malavo, you don't. Assuming, and this is what we noted, that in terms of the parameters of chamak varba versus sofcha malavo, that that's actually the distinction. The distinction is whether or not this haschalas hezek b'shas kfita. That's as opposed to Rashi, it would seem, who didn't really require haschalas hezek b'shas kfita to be defined as chamak varba, and possibly also as opposed to certain understandings of Rava, that you would require, in addition to Haskalas Ezek, Shir Misa as an independent criterion, probably as opposed to that as well. So that's one way you can understand it. The second is, and I do believe the Rush thought that. Just putting all the Rushes together, the Rush thought that. And I think you also endorsed the next one, which is that the possibility to understand it, that what distinguishes between Garmi and Grama is Hu Atma Osa Ezek. So if we take the Meiri's version, we can explain very simply that, what does that mean? That means you need a Maisa Hamafsid, Maisa which is itself provides the Hefsid. If that's the case, you would say very simply that when the act of Kfita is in the presence of dangerous conditions, so then we can define that as an act of, you know, Zrik L'socha Ha'esh. It's a Kfita Hamazika. But if it's Socha Malavos, then it's not. Then it's an act of just Kfita, which is not itself a damaging act, and it happens to be that there's Hezek that comes about afterwards. That's one thing one could have said. Then, if you go with the Rush's version of it, which is Osa Maisa Begufa Davar, you do an act upon, an exercise of will, upon the Chebis and Nizok. So the Rush evidently held that Sofcha Malavo also qualifies that Sofcha Malavo qualifies as Grumma on this. In other words, it doesn't count as an Asiyas Maisa Begufa Davar, which is not obvious, but what we explained was that it isn't just any act which you know, as long as you have an act upon the chevetz and nizok plus bar yezeka, it will be garmi, that you have here. That's not what it means. What the Rush means, when he says, oh, so that's a davar, is ladafka an act, true, ladafka an act that itself is mazik, but it has to, at the very least, be sort of intrinsically associated with looming nezek, as an act of precipitating eventual nezek. You have that in the case of mitzans and mitzokachama. You don't have that in the case of, the case of mitzamtzim in a completely comfortable environment. There, all you have is just a sort of a neutral act, and later on comes, it happens either as bar yizeka, but it's not sufficient as an asiyas maisa begufa davar. So that's what, that's in terms of how we understand that it goes from garmi to grama. Those who hold that it's, in both cases, it's garmi, so we basically saw four possible accounts of this. The first is to say, is to understand that it's both garmi, because the defining feature of garmi is bar yizeka. Right, this is what the Ran, I think, clearly implies. And the assumption is that in both cases it's Bar Yezeka, unlike the Pulpula Charifta, who I think sounds like he's making the claim that for some reason or another it's less Bar Yezeka when you're dealing with Sofcha Malavo. Especially given that you can actually, as the Piskei Rid points out, you can actually have Sofcha Malavo be, you know, less time, take less time from the actual act to the end of the to the death, you know, versus Chamak Barba, it's hard for me to understand that, but that's what the Pilkul Chirda says. Either way, I think, for sure, it makes more sense to assume that if it's Bar Yezeka, then for sure there's no difference between them in terms of they're both being Garmi. Second, in terms of how to understand that these are both Garmi, or why they're both Garmi, because the defining feature of Garmi is the time factor. And the reason, and the way that the cases of mitzamtze meet this criterion is because we view it as your ongoing activity. Halachically speaking, you're considered to be sort of actively involved in holding down until the time of he, as long as he's bound. So if that's true, then Sof Hamalava won't make the difference. Third, on the Rush's version of Asiyas Maisa Begufa Davar, so I think what I would have said before we revised it, because the Rush says it's Grama, I would have said it's Garmi, because the same thing he says about Mitzamtzem Chamak Rabba, you could say about Mitzamtzem Sof Hamalava, Sharehu Mitzamtzem Behemto. You're acting upon the behemoth. And it guarantees that there's hezek, so that qualifies. And fourth, on the Meiri's version of a Maisa Mafsid, so he said that, which the Meiri evidently did hold, that still qualifies even in the case of Sof Chamalavo, either because the Maisa is ongoing, or because the initial act of Kfita is defined as hezek by virtue of the future conditions that will come about, or... because even though it's not an act of hezek itself, it's still relevant. It's still it has a role in delivering the nezek. It's not just the meeting of the nizak and the mazik, and then there's a retreat. You're still involved in the actual deliverance of the hezek, and that's sufficient. And that's really what the criterion is for the miri in order to avoid just being grum. Okay, so that's that. Now we turn to the riaz and the rabban, who held that, and possibly the tour of the Rambam. That I think that's the Rambam. The Magid Mishnah though. He said that when the Rambam says he's a chayiv, yeah, after all, he's a chayiv because the Rambam holds garmi. We noted then, and that seems implausible just in terms of the placement of the halacha, because I'm not saying it's not true, I'm just saying it's hard to, it's a little bit of a chiddush because he hasn't yet introduced garmi. He's just talking about different ways that a person can do maisa rig bedaim, sorry, maisa nezek, because this is in Hilchos Chovel Mazik, and it sounds like it's just another way of doing hezek b'yadayim for the Rambam. And the tour as well. So for all these Rishonim, but particularly the Riyaz and Rabban were very explicit about it, so they assume that Chamak Varba is just a classic case of Maisa b'yadayim. They evidently assume that Sof Hamalavo is not, that it takes it from Maisa b'yadayim to Gram. Or it has to be, because otherwise it wouldn't be Pater. So we presented, I want to just sort of approach... assess that a little bit. How do we understand that? Is that obvious that if we're going to say that Mitzamtzem of Chamak Rabba is a Maisa Rig B'Yadayim, it isn't also the case regarding Sof Chamalavo? So I think here we have to consider on what basis Chamak Rabba is a Maisa Rig B'Yadayim, and we presented two understandings according to the Riyaz and the Ravan how it is that Chamak Rabba is considered Maisa B'Yadayim. The first was that what they hold is that what you need in terms of Maisa Rig B'Yadayim is simply three things. One, Asiyas Maisa Begufa Davar, in the most literal physical sense, not in the Rush's sort of broader sense, but a literal physical engagement with the gufa davar of the chevetz of the nizok, bari hezeka and b'shas maisa ba hezek. So if that's the how we're understanding why chamak varba is maisa b'yadayim, so then why does Sof Hamalavo transform it into gram? So I would say one of two things. I think the simplest thing to say is because of the time factor. In other words. It's true you have a Asiyas Maisa Begufa Davar in the literal physical sense, and you also have Bari Hezeka, but what you don't have is the B'shas Maisa Ba Hezek. So therefore, it's no longer Maisa B'Yadayim, now it's just Gram. Now that assumes regarding the parameters, like we said before, that's in fact the distinction. It also assumes and implies, given that the Riyaz holds that it is Garmi, or the Ravan, we don't know, he didn't think there was a distinction between Garmi and Gram. So he also is Mechayiv in Garmi, but that's not so telling. But for the Riyaz, who did distinguish between Garmi and Grama, right, he held Grama's Pater ben Ezekin, Garmi is Chayiv, so he held this as Garmi. It can't be that he also, if this is true, it can't be that he goes with the time factor as what defines Garmi. He can't go with that second answer of the Ri. Because if that were true, then it wouldn't already be just Garmi, it would be Maisa B'Yadayim. So that's just worth pointing out. Alternatively, this is again, according to the first understanding that we suggested, perhaps it could be that Asiyas Maisa Begufa Davar doesn't just mean any physical engagement with the Chevetz and Nizok. It also requires some sort of character in terms of its association with Nezek, something similar to what we said in the Rush, but adjusting for the different nature of Asiyas Maisa here. We could say something similar with respect to the Rabban and Riyaz. In other words, when we say all you need are these three things, so it does require some sort of association with Nezek. Again, the Chiddush of the Rabban and Riyaz on this view is that you weren't really providing the koach hezek. It's not the mice itself is not the act which is simply, killing the or damaging the chevetz. Nonetheless, it's still considered maisa b'yadayim. But what we'll say is, You do need, though, at least the association with impending nezek, and then we'll say something similar to what we said for the rush. That's if we understand the first way that we understood the Ravan and Raz, why it is that it's a matzah every time. The second direction we went is that's not sufficient. What you need in order to be defined as a maaser regular daim is that you need to be the sole author of the act. It has to be that you are the koach ha-poel, the exclusion of anything else. So what we said is that's true. And what the Ravan and the Riaz hold is that in this case, you've sort of been managed to be sort of a sholeit on the entire situation. Such that basically you're considered to be the ultimate author of the damage. We just view you as sort of using and utilizing the dangerous conditions of the sun as your implement of damaging. Right? So you're viewed as sort of using, you sort of are the puppet master using the sun as your puppet to damage. So if that's the case, so then I think we could say that apparently what emerges as far as Sof Chamalava is concerned is the following, that it relates to a point we should discuss, which is that when it comes to Koach Acher, so we could view it one of two ways, and it could be that it all depend on certain factors. We could view it that it's viewed as an independent activity, it's an independent drama, outside of your own sphere of activity. Or, no, we can view the Koach Acher as your implement, as your method of doing the damage. And there could be different principles guiding us, dictating when do we view it one way or the other. Just as an example, which I don't think I discussed, I don't think I mentioned, the Ramban in the Kuntrus, towards the end of the Kuntrus, suggests that maybe it depends on whether the Koach Acher is complementing or contravening your act. And what he's explaining there is the sugya in Bavas and Chavav, where the case of Zohar Avirach Masayito, the equivalent, where you, let's say you're, what's the word for this activity called, where you sort of, what?
Widow?
You're flapping like a,
sifting?
You know, you take a cloth to get, what?
You're
flapping it in the air in order to get rid of all the, the pieces of cloth or the pieces of flax or whatever it is that's on it. I don't know what it's called, whatever. Let's say you're beating
it.
Shaking it. Okay.
Well, beating it, I'll see it a little more, but yeah.
Right. Dusting, but the point is that there are pieces of, a flax there or something along those lines of pishtan, the raksa. I think the Gemara word for it is raksa. So these fly in the air and then they go off and damage somebody through the ruach. So the assumption of the Ramban is that case, just based on the Gemara, is that case would be putter, even if they're, that's what the Sugin L'Achbar is saying. So the Ramban is just trying to distinguish between that case, according to Surah Amarayim, and the case of Adnos Kinu Masal Shei Nichum Rosh Kugo, the principle of Chiv Eish, where we hold in the Gemara of Kama says that Adnos Kinu Masal Koachem Uruba, the Ruach, right, Ruach Mitsuya takes the Evan or the Sakin or the Masa, and it carries it into damaging somebody else. So in that case, you're chayiv, based on the principle of Eish Meshuchitzev, Eish Meshimono, but you're chayiv. So the Ramban suggests that maybe the difference here is that as far as your activity is concerned, in the case of the Pishtan case, the Ruach is actually contravening your act. If it were to follow your activity, so then it would just fly up in the air and fall down. The Ruach is working sort of against you. Now, I'm not sure, I don't think the Ramban is saying it in terms of Kavana. I think it just could be that's just the nature of the activity, is that it's oriented towards having the things fall down, whereas the Ruach comes along and pushes it towards the Nizok. Whereas the Ramban is claiming, which is not obvious, but the Ramban is saying this, that in the case of Adnos Sekinu Maso, your yud is working in tandem. It's not Hevech Kavanascha or Hevech Kochcha, it's in tandem. So that could be one example. Other Rishonim give different answers to that question. For instance, the Rashba. Again, the question: why isn't this? Why aren't you chayiv here mishum koach acher meruba like Eish? The Rashba held that the reason is because it had to do with the stage at which the koach acher is involved. He thought that in the case of Raksa, basically, there the ruach, the koach acher, is involved not in the delivering the nezek, the mazik, to the bringing the mazik towards the nizok, but rather in creating a mazik. It transforms the thing which is otherwise harmless into something which is a takala, That's the Rosh's understanding of it. That Raksa by in and of itself is not, there's nothing wrong, there's nothing dangerous about it. So it's the Ruach, essentially, which is doing everything, including introducing the Mazik. So that's a different principle. But either way, the point is that some cases we view this as being, you know, you're the puppet master and you're just using the Koach Acher as your method. In some cases, it's just a Koach Acher that's sort of outside your sphere of activity, and you're not to be considered sort of the supervisor. We mentioned before another example, another possible principle of factor, which is that maybe it depends on the nature of the person's act, whether it was passive or more positive, more active, right? We said this in the context of, we were explaining, one way to explain why the Chiva, let's say the Mishnah, our Mishnah, the Chiva L'socha Bor, might be Chai Mishum Maisi B'Yadayim, even though, right, Mitzamtzim, or Kovesh Asocho, where the guy already enters and just, you prevent him from, let's say, having his head emerge from the water, is only Garmi, right? That was in the context of the Rishonim, who thought that Mitzamtzim is Garmi, so one explanation of why that could be, right, we said, why is it that's Garmi? So we said, it could be because it's simply a passive activity, and by definition, you require for the Maisa B'Yadayim to be an active sort of activity. Or we said, no, in theory, maybe that's not the issue. The issue is more that you need to be the so kolacha poel, and in this case, with the mitzamtzim, where you're being just precluding it from leaving, and then the son comes along and kills it, it's the son that's killing, not you. You're not the so kolacha poel. So the question we asked then was, well, then why are you chayiv for doche v'soch hamayim, right, in the Mishnah? So one answer was, maybe that's also chayiv mishum garmi, right? And the second thing we said was, no, maybe that's a Maisav Yadayim, and there's a difference. Why is it there that you consider Maisav Yadayim? So we suggested, because if you do a real positive activity, bring in there, you push him there, so then we can view you as sort of the author of the Tatzah and using something else as an implement. But if you're just simply restricting movement, so that's not something that we can sort of pin the whole process on. That's not something that could be viewed as a show laid up upon, you know, other kochos. By the way, I just want to point out that the Piskei Arid, I think, is actually Meduyak. I don't think I mentioned this then. The Piskei Arid, I think, clearly does say this. This is in the original Makor sheet that I gave you guys. When he describes why it is that for him it's Gram. Again, he says Grama, but he means Gram as opposed to Maisav Yadayim, not Grama as opposed to Garmi. But he's explaining why it is that he thinks that that Simtzum is only Gram and not a Maisav Yadayim, right? This is what the Riaz was so upset about. He thought that didn't make any sense. Of course it's got to be Maisav Yadayim. But his explanation was, Vatzimtzum Azek Gramahu, this is in the Piskei Arid on Ayin Vav Amud Beis, which I handed out on the first sheet. Why? Kevan Sha Behema Haisa Omedes V'Shemesh, V'lo Hevia Hu Sham, Ela Shetzimtzuma V'ich Basham Shelo Teilech, V'Hashemesh Hargam. So he says two things. One, that you didn't bring it there, you just prevented it from leaving. And two, the Shemesh Harga. So the question you can ask is, well, so let's say I did bring it there. Isn't it still true, the Shemesh Harga? Did my act of bringing it there kill it? So I think that what's meduyak from the Piskei Arid is precisely this idea, which is that the passivity of the act, it's not that that itself makes it a gram as opposed to be dying, but it allows the koach acher. Right? This is the principle that we were discussing then, that's a principle in terms of when do we view the koach acher as simply a separate sphere of activity versus something which I'm using as an implement. So when I actually am responsible in the sense of I actually do a positive activity, techifa, bringing it there, so then I can be viewed as utilizing the koach acher as my implement of doing damage. But when all I'm doing is simply precluding a mice. It's a passive activity. I'm just precluding somebody from escaping. So that allows the koach acher now to be viewed as a separate koach, a separate agent. And then we say shemesh harga. So I think that it really is what follows from the Piskei Arid. I just wanted to point it out. So perhaps the Rivaz and the Ravan are suggesting a new principle regarding this issue. They will hold against the Piskei Arid, who held that it was only Gram, they hold that it's a Maisa, and for them, so what they're saying is that even if all you did was restrict a person from escaping the Koach HaShemesh, we can view the Shemesh as your implement, but there's a caveat. It's only if the Shemesh was there, and it was working, perhaps, at the time of your Maisa. So this is another
principle factor dictating when we view the koach acher as a just the implement as you're the puppet master and you're just using this as your method versus viewing it as an independent sphere of activity. If it's there while you're acting, so then we can view your act as sort of incorporating and integrating that activity, that that koach acher. If it isn't, if it's afterwards, then it won't be. So that's Adkan in terms of the just Sof Chama Levo, in terms of analyzing its the impact upon the Atman Samsam. Okay, so I guess we have time just to discuss a little bit. So now we just move on just to fill out some of the picture. So Rishonim here discuss the question of I think I said that in the chorus. Is that right? I said that in the chorus?
Yeah.
Right, the question of whether or not this is true always, or perhaps there's a chiyuv, even if it's Sof Chama Levo, if heviu hu l'sham. If I, right, if I bring the animal there, let's say, so in that case, is there a chiyuv or not? So the point of departure here is the Gemara on Im Bava Kama and Nun Vava Me'ala, which is in, which introduces four different cases where the Gemara says you're pater midine adam, and all the Shem understood this is bishum grama. So the Gemara says one of those cases is kovev kamaso shachavero bifnei hadleika. So the Gemara understood initially, at least, that what that means. Or one day in the Gemara, is that what that means is that you push the grain in front of the path of the fire, so that it was now in the path of the fire. And in that case, you're putter. So the Gemara says, why? What's the case here? If it's machi labaruach mitsuya, right? If the wind would come and the fire is, you know, predictably coming because of a ruach mitsuya, all it would take is, in other words, all it would take is a ruach mitsuya for the fire to come and damage it. So then you should be chayiv even midine adam. So it must be it's a case of lo maruch of ruach sheinu mitzia. Okay, so the assumption. So the Gemara clearly, what clearly emerges from the Gemara is you are chayiv in a case where if I put it in the path of the fire, where all it takes is a ruach mitzia to bring it there. So the Rishonim, the Tosos here and there, are bothered by what they view as a contradiction or a discrepancy. They here in that case you're chayiv for putting in the path. Even though it's the equivalent of Sof Chama Levo. It's Sof HaEsh Levo. Here, you're putter, and they're assuming it's true for Nezikin as well, right? This is, by the way, the Tosos you clearly see held like, and this is, the Rush was commenting on this Tosos, clearly the Tosos held like the Rush, that Sof Chama Levo is putter for Nezikin, right? But they're arguing that therefore there's a discrepancy, because they assume that you are in fact putter in the case of Nezikin for Sof Chama Levo, and they assume that you're chayev in that case. I mean, that's what the Gemara says. Yeah.
I suppose this is probably one of the answers, but isn't it fairly obvious that it's that I guess since the ish is already on the path, and it would be more equivalent to a chamakarba than sof chamalava.
Why is it more equivalent to a chamakarba? Let's say first of all, especially if you hold that the issue is it has to actually start damaging, which is again rabbishon, Tosos for sure. Right, that the even if the mamus is present, but it actually hasn't started working yet. So then, you know, if they are still going to be Sof Chama Levo. So then, obviously, it clearly doesn't make a difference. Also, I'm not sure that you couldn't. Let's say you can't see the. I don't know exactly what there would be, but you know, it could be a mile away. But the point is, if it's in that, it could be, you know, a whole state away. If there's no way to stop it, you know, and there's a ruach mitzvah that'll take it. So then that presumably would be the same din, even though it seems to be equivalent to Sof Chama Levo. I mean, the sun is always, you know that the sun is still there,
yeah,
even though when it, quote unquote, you know, disappears. It's Yotze only in the sense that you can't see it anymore, but, right? So the sun is, I mean, so I'm not sure that, it's not an answer I've seen. I think that's part of the reason why, because, first of all, it's an issue of Haskalas Hezek, and then it doesn't, in both cases, it's clear that it's Sof Levo. And even if it's not, I'm not sure, you know, what would the parameters be, but presumably, you know, you can construct a case where you would have it, and the Gemara is just saying, as long as it's a Ruch Mitzuya that would take it there, that's sufficient to be Mechayev. Okay, so many Rishonim, so in terms of the answer to this question, so many Rishonim, the Tosos here, and Bava Kama, the Rashba Bava Kama, the Rashba Bava Kama, they assume that, in fact, if you bring it there, you would be Chayev, even if Sof Chama Levo. Right, that when the Gemara here says that you're putter in the case of Mitzamtim, it's only in the case where it was already there, and all you did was, in the case of Mitzamtim, Sof Chama Levo, it's only where it was already there, and you simply held it down. Right? Interestingly, what isn't clear is that true for is that true for Ritzicha? Tosfos, it sounds like it would be true for Ritzicha too, that you'd be chayav there too. We'll come back to that, but I think that's a Garmi question, a Garmi Ritzicha question. Now, but why is it, or I shouldn't say that, let me take a step back. Why is it that you'd be chayav in that case where you actually brought it there? So Tosfos here, did you guys get a chance to look at it? So Tosfos here say, they introduce a principle, a separate principle, which we'll get to in the next daf, which is Eishem Shemchitzev. They hold that this is based on Eishem Shemchitzev. That's why you'd be chayav here. So that's not really our topic, although this Tosfos is significant for the topic. There are three things that are significant about this. First of all, he assumes that it's relevant for Ritzicha, something which is more explicit in this entire Tosfos. That he assumes that Eishem Shemchitzev is something which is true for Ritzicha as well. Also, he assumes that Mekarv Hadavar Eitzal Eish is no different than Eish Mekarev Eish Eitzal Davar in this respect, and both in the sense that if you hold Eishem Shemchitzev, that then you hold that it's chitzav there too, right? Where you're not responsible for the ish at all, but you've moved it in a way that also being shemchitzav. Also, that only if you hold ish of shemchitzav are you going to say that that makari of davar etzal ish is the same as ish etzal davar. It's another thing you could have wondered about. But also assumes that he tells us assuming that sina and chama are all begeder ish for this purpose. But either way. That's not our issue so much, but it's just important to note that the Tosfos Bava Kamma makes no mention whatsoever of Eishem Shemchitzev. And neither does the Rashba there. And it sounds like even without introducing the principle of Eishem Shemchitzev, you're simply chayav here, when you put something in the path of the fire, you're simply chayav, without reference to Eishem Shemchitzev, midin adam mazik, either mishum garmi or ma'aseh beidayim, but either way, the chiyuv is the same as a case where basically you put it in the path of the fire then, right? Right? In other words, it's precisely the case of ma'aseh le bruchim mitzuyah, that you'd be for sure b'chaya, the same thing would be true here without reference to Eishem Shemchitzev, whether midin ma'aseh beidayim or garmi. Now, in terms of why that would be, what would the principle there be. So I think it's possible that the idea is here it would, you know, just in terms of understanding that, it would correspond to the, we'd have to consider both of the proposed definitions for Ma'aseh B'Dayim. It could be that you don't require, Ma'aseh B'Dayim does not require you to be the Silk Koach HaPoel, so really we understand that there are two Mazikim here in the sense, or the two agents of the Nezek, that are jointly responsible for the Nezek, and you're bringing it there, and then the Eish is coming, so those are two independent agents of the Nezek, or two independent Maisim which contribute to the Nezek. You're Chayav there, Mishum Maisi B'Dayim, despite the fact that you're not the Sol Koch HaPoel. And the only reason then that Mitzamtim is not a Maisi B'Dayim is because what we'd say is that there's just no activity to speak of. It's more passive. So that by definition makes it something which isn't a Maisi B'Dayim. Right, and even though in neither case you're providing the koach hezek, but right, or let's see, you're not certainly not providing the sol koach hezek, but only in this case do you have the ma'aseh gufa davar, and that's sufficient. Alternatively, perhaps you do require that the mazik in the case of ma'aseh b'dayim, if it's considered ma'aseh b'dayim, be considered the sol koach hapoel, and then what we'd say is that the reason. The difference between these cases is precisely what we've discussed, which is that in the case of Mitzamtim, where it was already there and you simply precluded it, so that's not an activity that you could be, that could be assigned as, that could be viewed as sort of you're taking charge of becoming sort of the puppet master of the entire situation, such that now the Eish which is coming is viewed as simply being your tool, or somehow you're utilizing it. That's not what's going on here. Rather, you're simply being passive, so that's by definition not going to be a ma'aseh b'dayim. But in the case of the Gemara Bava Kamma, and Tosfos saying in the case here, if you were to be bringing it here, so that's an activity which we can then view as being sort of your it's the equivalent essentially of throwing something into a fire, an existing fire. Basically, Tosfos saying is if you have a real positive activity of introducing the nizok into the situation, and as it doesn't really matter whether or not the mazik is the davar hamemis is there right now, or is is coming, it's already considered to be equivalent. You're just basically throwing it into the fire. That'll just set up for next week, which is, I guess, Thursday, which we'll finish up with, which is just that Tosafot Ritt has a different answer. Tosafot Ritt thinks that there's a distinction here, that in fact the cases are not similar, and I guess we'll return to that. So we'll finish up, just the next word, we'll finish up at this topic of Mikarev Adavar Eitzel, or putting it in the path of the Ish. Then I'll maybe make a note or two about the case of Ari Nitushim, but I don't want to get too far into that because we'll have an opportunity to get back to that in a few blocks from now. And then the next topic, we can go on to the next topic, which is, I guess I'll say now Makoros, which is the topic of Siluk Tris, right, where the guy shoots an arrow, and somebody's wearing armor or he's got a shield of some sort, and then somebody comes along and removes it. So what's it in that case? So we'll start. I'm assuming we're going to start with them. Would you guys want me to send you the Makoros, I assume?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll get to